Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, basketball fans. Welcome back to Ball Movement. I'm Matt Moderna. I'll be joined by my co-host, Mike Crepi, as always, and we'll be talking to Jerome Dyson again today. This is the second part of our conversation with him. We're going to pick up right from the point where he decided to make the transition from playing in the NBA to heading overseas, and he starts off this episode with a crazy story about what life is actually like playing in an overseas country and the things that basketball players here really don't have to worry about that you do have to factor into your decision-making when you make the journey to play internationally. So, it's a really good episode. I think it paints an accurate picture of what life is like, even for the best overseas players. And Jerome was a really successful overseas player, and he still had a lot to deal with over there that he probably wouldn't have here. And I think it sounds like it's been rewarding for him, and he had a long, successful career. So we'll get kind of into all of that here in a little bit. But first, a word from one of our sponsors, BetOnline. It's that time of year as college basketball takes center stage with the tournament finally upon us. If you're looking to wager this year, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your updated odds and info, along with the greatest contest, including the bracket contest where you have a chance to take home the top prize. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEF, that's BLEAV, to get started. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline. Where the game starts. All right, with that, let's just jump right into the podcast. And like I said, Jerome starts this episode off with just kind of an incredible story. So stay tuned. As always, rate, review, subscribe. We love all that stuff. And give us feedback and let us know who you want to hear from next. All right, here we go. Jerome, you talked a little bit there about just like having some bad luck too. And I think sometimes people don't really realize how much that really does play a factor. You've got to end up with the right person. You've got to, you know, sometimes it's somebody getting hurt on another team to open up a spot for you, or a team is looking for a certain player at a time that ends up being the right situation for you. Like, you just have to have kind of the right breaks, I think.
Or an agent that has another client that's in, so they already has a relationship. That's a lot of guys are getting on because they have their agent has relationship with a team that wants this big prospect already. So it's a lot of stuff that goes into it that a lot of people don't see. It's just like, oh, well, he wasn't good enough. Like, no, it's a lot of great players that don't get a chance because they're already paying this dude $20 million. I'm not going to bring you in and set this person, this $20 million on the bench. Like, how does that sound? Even $5 million. Like, I'm not setting $5 million. I'm not setting anything and I'm guaranteed this already. Like, I got to get something out. Like, I got to get something out of this to make it look good. So I'm not going to bring something in and a chance that it might do something if I'm already paying this guy crazy money.
It's like that in college. You got us on scholarship. You might have a walk-on that's killing him in practice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Everything has a face amount. Like, everything, you're going to find some way to figure out that amount. And every cycle is, like he said, you can find it. Even overseas, it's like...
Yeah.
It's the same way.
Like, I was fortunate the year that I played in Greece, A1, my agent at the time was Greek, and his son's godfather was assistant coach on the team. You know, they were bringing in guys left and right, you know, trying to fill that spot. But because my agent had that personal relationship with the team, it wasn't much difference in our skill set. He told me exactly what the team was looking for.
It's not. It's a relationship that you have with the person. Like, he gonna take this guy who's friends with his dad before taking, you know, just some random person. That's how I got on in China. Like, my job in China, the Asian was the Asian that was helping me. His dad was the coach, right?
but go back. So you said you played the Pan Am Games, and like, while you were going through that process, even though it was a lockout year, did that kind of like give you any insight to overseas basketball? Were you still just fixated on the NBA, or were you like, this overseas thing might be an option for me at this point?
I mean, I didn't know anything about overseas basketball still. Even going to Israel, I tell everybody about my first day. Have I told you about my first
It's the perfect time to tell me. Yeah.
My first week in Israel. I know nothing about Israel at this point. I know nothing about anything. But I get to Israel my first week. If you don't know anything about Israel, they have a lot of holidays. And they have holidays that can go on for a week long, or they have holidays that can go on for like 2 weeks or, you know, 2 days. So, but I get there, it's like a week holiday going on. And they're at war. Not at war, but, you know, they're like...
There's unrest at the time, yeah, right.
But they're always... But it's like... But they're always like that. So that's something I didn't know, you know, with Gaza. And so something I didn't know. So I get there. Everything is closed because, like I said, it's the holidays. Like, everything's closed. You know, it's a couple restaurants is open. And so, you know, I'm like, man, I don't know anything. I just got here. And, you know, they dropped me in, gave me my car, got my apartment, and told me about some little places that's close by. So I get in my car.
Is this a big city, small town? Like, what set the stage for us?
Hold on. It's right next to Tel Aviv, right next to the water, 15 minutes from the beach.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So I pull up to the restaurant, you know, I get in my car. Like I said, everything closed there, you know. At this point, I still don't know anybody. So I'm just riding. I don't know Hebrew. So that's another thing. So, this, you know, the language barrier is there already. And so I get there, I drive up, order my food. I don't even think I got my food yet, but I ordered chicken breast and some white rice. So I'm waiting, and then all of a sudden you hear boom. And then I look out, and then I hear boom again. I see the fucking rocket blow up in the sky, right? Like, one rocket hits another rocket, and then
what's going through your mind when you see this, right? Your first
man, I'm like, yo, what the hell? Look at my agent. I'm like, oh my God, Glenn, where the hell did you send me? Like, it's bombs blowing up over my head. And everybody's screaming. So everybody breaks out and screaming. They speaking Hebrew. So, you know what it is. If somebody start running one way, I'm running with you. So everybody go, I guess it's like the bomb shelter thing. And they had one. And so everybody goes in there. And I come back out. Everything is cleared out. But at the time, I didn't know, you know, Israel's like, they have the number one defense system in the world. It's called the Iron Dome. And so what the Iron Dome does, it shoots the missiles out of the sky before it can hit anything, like, to prevent casualties. Like, because the bombs, the rockets that Gaza are shooting over, they don't really have anything in them in order for them to travel further. So it's more just like, it's like nothing in, like, as far as like that's gonna blow. It's just gonna hear. You just get the boom. It's nothing inside. They take everything out so it can travel further. So that's why they shoot them out the sky. And so I didn't know that, you know, that. So, you know, first year out, I didn't know none of this. I'll blow up in my head right above. Like, and that's another thing. They rarely ever make it to Tel Aviv because, like, that's the, I don't know if that was like, not the cap. It wasn't the capital, but it's like the major. It's like the mother of one of like the major cities. You got there, and then you got Herzliya right next to it. Probably like the more expensive cities. The bombs don't really make it towards Tel Aviv, like Herzliya, like that areas. Like they won't. They. I guess they won't say they're scared, but they like. You know, if they send us that way, they know something is gonna pop off. Like Israel's gonna respond. And so that was another thing. Like they told them they do one more thing, their war was gonna pop off, they were gonna go in there. So at that point, I'm like, man, what the hell? My first year overseas, and I'm about to be in a war.
Your agent mentions none of this in advance.
None of this. I didn't know about the Iron Dome. I don't know about, you know, like they sometimes it like cahoots with Gaza, you know, it blows over, it goes away, comes back a few years and goes away again. It's like a hate love relationship, you know, type of thing. Like it's like, and so I don't, not to make a joke about like that's like real type stuff, but I didn't know anything about anything about it. So I'm like, I'll get on my phone right away. Like, where am I at? I got to get out of here. Home. Like, yeah, I got to get out of here. Like, I know, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for none of this. And so, but then they explained to me, like, what's going on. You know, you get a little more comfortable. Like, oh, okay. They're trying to protect us. That's what's happening. You know what I mean? And so, but after that, like, the rest of the year kind of went a little bit smoother. You know, they had a couple more threats, but nothing really happens. I don't want to say nothing really happens. I mean, because stuff does happen. I mean, they put some bombs on buses and stuff like that. And that's real, and people have lost lives. But as far as you felt like the war was gonna actually happen, I never was in a situation like that. Because I said, even after that, I ended up bringing my family to Israel once I came back a few years later.
Yeah, I don't think anything prepares you for year one. Like, you know, you can have all this information, you can listen to podcasts and watch videos and follow people on Instagram and everything, but until you're over there, no matter what country you're in.
Yeah, but I wasn't an Instagram person back then. Like, I didn't have a
Instagram wasn't really popping like that.
It was, but I didn't know about it. I missed out. Like, I was even in college. I missed out. I'm like, people walking around with millions of followers right now. Yeah. I could have had some of those. Like,
no, facts.
Yeah. But yeah, I wasn't on any social media like that, so I didn't even know about any of that type of stuff. And so,
we gotta ask a question that the people are gonna want to ask. I know they're gonna ask in the comments. Yo, did you get your chicken and rice before you went into that bomb shelter?
Man, I won't dodge you. I can't even remember, but you get into it. That's like a I gotta get safe type of moment. I got right into the car and got right back to the house. And got under something, figured out what my bomb shelter was in my building.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it was definitely a wild, but it was, like I said, I had a great time. Like, all my experiences, like, it made me who the person I am. It's just shaped me into a better person. Like, I got my as far as like the culture that I've been around and been able to embrace. Like, I have friends from so many places. Like, I can go so many places and be good. Mm-hmm. Not people can say that. I can be good in like other countries. Like,
yeah.
If I want to leave right now, I'll be good. Like, a place to stay, a meal, like, I'll be good.
Yeah.
So how do you juggle that, right? You come to this new country, that's day one. Yeah, you can't play basketball, you can't meet your teammates yet. We're not even talking about like the smaller learning curve stuff, like terminology or language barrier. Yeah. Like, just how do you eventually like settle in and get comfortable enough that you would want to come? I mean, because you played there multiple years, right? So like, how did that eventually kind of work itself out and you settled into a groove?
I think that was going into my, I guess you should know, Israel is the number one Americanized country. Like, so that was probably the biggest, that was the number one thing. And when I made the decision, it was like, oh, it's going to be more like home than anywhere else. And so it'd be a kind of an easier transition into, you know, everybody there, not everybody, but majority of the people are going to speak some kind of English, and you're going to be able to use your English. You won't have to worry about kind of like the translation of, and because, you know, it's hard to read. I don't know if you ever seen it, but Hebrew is unreadable if you don't know Hebrew, because it's not A, B's, like, and like if you go to Italy, like, they still have the same letters and you can kind of like pronunciate it, but you can't pronunciate a symbol. I can't see what like it looks like symbols. And so it's if you don't know the language, you can't look at a sign and say
there's no, oh, no piecing it together from context.
Yeah, it's no Google. Well,
they didn't have like an English translation like on the signs and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's so, because it's like I said, it's Americanized, and so they really like.
When I went to China, I was worried about that. Like, I was worried about like the sign, but it always has the Mandarin, and then it has like the English translation.
That's you'll find a lot of the countries, they have a lot of English on their speed signs, like everything, like going like, and you'll be really surprised that a lot of people, you find places that it's hard for me to go in and learn their language because they want to learn English.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're so far behind. Like, this, so advanced in us. Like, they know their language.
Yeah, we don't.
And they can speak, and they communicate with us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't communicate with them in their language.
No. I mean, you can try. Or like I said, you go to a lot of countries where if you can, like, pronunciate the word, you can try to, like, read off. And, you know, it's going to take a while. But Israel is probably, like, the hardest. You know, it's because I can't. As far as, like, the language, but it's so diverse in, like, the culture and the languages and the different ethnicities. And so it was a good transition from, you know, going from that NBA end of the season to my first year over.
You talked about the language barrier and stuff, you know, and wanting to be somewhere that was fairly Americanized. Like, what other factors did you kind of weigh when you figured out what countries you wanted, what jobs you wanted? Was it style of play? Was it money? Was it location? Like, what kind of things influenced you?
It was more the Americanized, being Americanized, because if anybody knows me, they know I'm a very, very picky eater. Like, I can't survive. Like, I that was one of the things I was worried about.
I'm like that too. Like, I was scared. That who's gonna cut my hair?
When I told you about chicken and rice, like, that's what I eat. Like, on a nut. Like, I'm gonna go find chicken and rice somewhere because I'm not gonna try nothing new. Like, I ain't like try this. Nah, I'm good. You go ahead. Like, chicken and rice and some pizza. I was golden. And so that was probably the only thing that I was really worried about, was the being able to speak and being like to communicate. And like I said, they were really Americanized. And so and the weather was amazing, like shorts all the time, no coats. Like I said, I'm right next to the beach. So it was
not bad.
it was great.
Anything special you would ask for in contracts that people wouldn't think of beyond just the money, obviously, but like multiple bedrooms of the apartment, plane tickets for family.
That's something that you need to be on your P's and Q's about, that because if it's not in the contract, it's not going to be given to you unless you're out there busting ass. Like, that's
they're not giving you extra, right?
No, yeah, that's the one thing I say about over there. But if you are doing your job, you have nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing. As far as anything, like, you can ask for a new car. Like, if you're handling your job and you're getting buckets and your team is doing well, they will treat you like a king.
Yeah. And then it's like, you got to make sure you understand when you have the leverage, right? So right. I always tell guys, like, this is one thing I did for myself. I always made sure I got everything I wanted, bonuses, my living arrangements, all that before I even got off the plane, because once you get there, and then let's say, like, even further, if I have a really good game, like, now I'm like, I'm not doing anything else until I get this, because I have the leverage right now. And a lot of times they'll say, oh, tomorrow or next week, and by that time you're risking everything, because now let's say you don't play as well as they want you to play, now where's your leverage?
Yeah, man, that's their favorite word, tomorrow. If something happened, it's gonna be here tomorrow.
Is my Wi-Fi hooked up? Like, tomorrow.
Yeah, they said it'd be here tomorrow. Nobody could come. But like he said, man, that's one of the things. You gotta understand your value and your worth. You gotta understand when you got it and to really take advantage of it, because it could be gone.
And they're trying to. That's business, right? They're trying to get the most for the least amount.
Yeah.
Because I have players, right? They send me their contracts, and, you know, they're not picky or anything. But I'm like, listen, it's not about being picky. They can put you in a better apartment or a better hotel, but the fact that you're okay with it, they're going to keep you there because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
They might even be paying for it. But if you say, hey, look, I need this, they're going to do it for you. But they're just not going to present it to you. You have to ask for it.
And man, that's what I'm saying. If they want you, they're going to get that in your contract. That's how you can tell if a team want you or not, is how far they're willing to go to make you happy.
Yeah.
Any situations where they didn't follow through, or you didn't get paid, or you left the team because you know, they didn't hold up their end? Anything like that?
No, just recently, like when I just went over to, that's probably like the the worst situation I would have got myself into is when I was just in Poland, I think it was. Yeah, Poland. It was just, they fired the coach right before I got there. And I was talking to assistant coach on the phone. He's talking to me. You know, I get there and then he's like, we played one game and he's like, oh, I don't want to do this. And I don't want this job anymore. And so they bring in another coach and it's like, it was a real umber. Like the bed they had me on, bed was broken. Like they didn't have the right box spring like in the bed. It was like, I was, I got out of there as fast as I could. It was just like messed up situation. That's probably like the only time. Like, and I think that's because of this COVID situation. Like, I wouldn't have put myself in that type of situation. It was just, I wanted to go play basketball. And mm-hmm. I was like, what I needed at the time. And it was, I would never experience anything like that in my 10 years that I've been overseas.
And so like, I don't think people understand just how vulnerable and how sometimes reckless this stuff is. Like for me, a lot of times, you know, you talk to people on the phone, but you know, when we first came out, you know what, you know, all them years ago, like you had Skype, you had things, there's no FaceTime and things like that. So it's like, you're seeing the person for the first time when they pick you up, you know, you're hoping that they have a sign for you and that's, this is the actual person that you're meeting, but yeah. Like, let alone, you don't know where you're staying. They don't send you, my experience, they never sent me videos, sent me pictures of the place. You're just assuming, cause I'm coming over here playing professional basketball, I'm going to be in a decent place. And then you get there and it's like, you know, like in my contract, I always had language that said, my apartment and my house has to meet my standards. And I'm bougie. I'm from Montgomery County. Like, yeah. I don't struggle at all.
That's the thing, man. As I said, you got to make sure the verbiage in your contract is because they like I said, if you don't say anything about it, they won't say anything about it. If you don't voice yourself, it's not going to know. They're not going to do anything because they're going to try to be, they want to spend the least amount of money as possible. That's just a business. And then, you find it in any type of business, but it's like, if you don't have this verbiage in the contract, you're not going to get it. That's why you make sure, like, even with like internet, I make sure I'm like, cause I play video game. I need internet better be high speed. I need a TV in my room. What else? Sometimes I even like to ask for business flights so I can sit comfortably or riding over. Like, cause you know, sometimes, like I said, they'll give you like
the economy.
Like if you don't ask, like this stuff, They may say no, but it's something that you got to ask. Like,
yeah, I got guys that are 6'10". They don't even give them edge row seats when they book their flights. And I'm gonna listen. Right. You have to ask for it.
Yeah, it's so like
it's crazy.
It's so crazy. It's so disrespectful because they don't even like. It's not even, you know, any player over like six feet, like you need an exit, like just to. Yeah. To be comfortable, like you about to have me travel 12 hours to you to play on your team to help you win a championship. That's our goal. Yeah. And you're going to put me on you're going to make me sit in a flight like this for 12 hours.
And you're going to get off the plane and play too. Yeah. You don't have 12 hours to rest.
Hey, man, I was just about to say that. Like, don't let you be going over there in November.
Yeah. And like, when you're playing, like, before the season, like, they're going to want you to get right off that plane and play in the game. Like,
play well, then it's like, okay.
Yeah.
You're not the player that we wanted. You weren't ready
to play because you just got off a 12-hour flight. You don't have any kind of jet lag, like
up on that plane.
No eating problem, like nothing. Like everything should be fine. When you get here, you should be working like a machine. Yeah. No, I'm a human.
Yeah, no, it's insane, man.
Other than co-host Mike here, you're our first actual guest of the show that has played in China. What was your China experience like?
China was good. I mean, other than I got hurt the first. I got hurt the first day I got there. It was, I mean, as far as everything else, like the city's been, it was great. I didn't know what to expect. I guess I got onto one of the better teams. I've heard some of the situations, like as far as like being able to eat food, or the city is like, it's like the small cities. There's like nothing around. But I was in Suzhou, and it was very nice. City's was great. But I got, like I said, I got hurt the first day I got there. I thought I got turf toe, because you know, a football player, I can play through that shit. Like it's just a, you know, jamming your thumb, but on your foot. And so I thought that's what happened. Like the first day I went to move, did something, and I was like, damn, gosh. I thought I, you wiggling around, you know, mm-hmm. All right, good. It's just a little numb. But nah, I tried playing through it, man. I did everything. Like I did the Chinese medicine, you know, the doctor, when they light you, they turn the lights off, they light the liquor up, and they do the, mm-hmm. like, the rubbing, like, I tried everything. You did that for, like, a couple weeks. I don't want to laugh, because, you know, some people, they're really serious about that. Like, it's been passed down to this, like, third generation. Like, they really believe in it. And I think it would have probably helped, but not for my situation. Like I had a torn ligament. Like nobody knew I had a torn ligament. So they're trying to do all this stuff like this, but I never went and got an MRI. And that's probably, you know, not being out there in that situation before, not knowing what to do, because, you know, my agent's, his father is the coach. So, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, I'm protected. Like I don't got nothing to wear. Like if they really thought like, that it was like something they're going to get me, but you know, I wasn't the case. I was like, man, I can't do this anymore. I'm just fighting through. I'm popping like pills just about every day, like just to get by. Like, cause I can't, you know, I didn't know I had a torn ligament. So mm-hmm. I played for that day. I got hurt the first day. I played on it for 2 months.
Yeah. You still putting up like solid numbers
though. Yeah. That's what I said. I remember. I just couldn't jump. I can't jump off and go to a layup. So everything was shots, and like I couldn't play defense the way I wanted to. And so they're thinking like I'm like a bum, like I just can't do nothing. Like, but I get back home. I want to go see a doctor. I'm like, nah, because this shit is still hurting. Like, I'm like, nah, I gotta see somebody. Like, I get back, I got a torn ligament in my toe, and so I had played on it for. I don't know if it got worse or whatever, but I played, like I said, I played on it for 2 months, just popping pills, just trying to, because the money was, I couldn't see myself leaving all that money on the table. Like, just be like, yeah. I just got there. It was what I've been, I had wanted to get into this situation for maybe had already like 2 or 3 years before that, because I was just, I had just got off one of the longest seasons in Europe. I think we played the first game all of Europe and the last game all of Europe. I was the Italian championship, because all the series are a 7-game series, which is insane. Yeah. So we played the Super Cup that year, and we won that Super Cup. That was the first game all of Europe. And then we get all the way to game 7 in the championship, and we win that. And that was the last game all of Europe. And so like, I got back there. I'm like, man, I just felt like I was like drained. Like I need a break. And so somebody had talked to me about it. It was like, yeah, you know, China is like 5 months. Yeah. And so I was like, man, 5 months. I just had my daughter was just born at the time. And so I'm like, man, I'm going to be around, you know, spend some of this time with my kids. Like my son was maybe 8 at this time, you know, really getting good at soccer. I'll be able to catch some games, you know, and see my daughter was just born, see her grow up. I was like, man, that nine, 10 months, it looked a lot real long. Like I'm not going to be able to have them around me a lot. So I was like, man, shorter season, more money. It's a no brainer.
Yeah.
And so I had wanted to get over there that first year after winning that championship. That's why I set out, because I was like, I was really drained. Like I didn't really like not want to play basketball anymore, but I was like, I just need a break. Like,
yeah,
I'm tired, kind of like just going at it, you know, going at it for years and years. Like,
it takes a toll.
Yeah, it does. And so I waited, and what happened is I talked to somebody about this China team, but then it got to a point where, you know, everybody wanted to cut. It was like, this person said this person, and this, I'm like, it got to a point, I was like, I don't even know these people that you're talking about. Like, yeah. you brought up two people. I didn't even talk about. They're my agent. I don't even know. And so me, that's the type of person I am. I'm never going to cut my agent out of anything. Like, cause if you're down with me, I'm down with you. Like that's kind of who I am. And so they said something that was like, you know, they wanted this percentage, that percentage. I was like, man, forget that. And that the deal fell through. And so I ended up not even getting to get like I was on, that was that team. We won the championship. That was your lead. And so I didn't even end up getting like, I missed out on everything. Like at that point, waiting for that China deal, because you know, the season starts later. And at that point, season had, and Europe had already started. And I ended up, you know, like telling them, no, I don't want this, because so many people had their hands on it. Like, it's not even like people I don't even know. And so I ended up doing that and going back, just missing, like coming off a championship and then missing like half a season because of the deal fell through. And so that's how I ended up going back to Italy, and all that crazy stuff happened there. I got hit in the back.
Was that the year you were there with Fowler? In Brindisi?
No, that was my first year in Italy. We were supposed to win a championship that year too.
God,
we were supposed to win a championship. We was stacked.
Yeah, I remember that year.
First place, and we were first place in it. We had, I think, we only had lost like one or two games in the first round of the in the first half of the season.
Yeah,
they cut our big man. Whole season went down. They cut up, because I was just, it was easy for me. Like, I'm just getting to the paint. Like, if they're going to step up, I'm just throwing. Right to my boy, Alamino. Alade Alamino.
Georgia just, Tech.
Yeah. Just lob right there. Finish. Like, it was, and I had following. I had,
Dale James there.
Yeah, I had Dale. I had Ron Lewis. Yeah. Bro, we were stacked up, bro. And then, he traded him, and then all our rebounding, they cut him, I think, because he forgot his shoes one time or something like that. Like, something crazy. Like, we're number one in the league right now, and you, like,
y'all cut him. I mess with chemistry.
Yeah, like, it didn't make sense to me. So, that happened. They cut him. They got another center that, you know, couldn't even rebound. Like, it's just like, why did we even? I mean, no disrespect to him. I mean, he was older, but like,
yeah, we talk basketball here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it was like, you're not gonna come and help us win a championship. Like, on all actuality, like, I don't even understand what they thought. Like, he wasn't gonna come and help us win this championship. And so after that, like, we couldn't get a rebound. I'm getting to the bucket. Nowhere to go with the ball. Like, he's not a finisher. Like, he's just Italian and had American passport. That's what I'm saying. So it's like,
but you're going back, like touch more about your China experience. That's something that's so unique, right? The shorter season, more money. About just how, like, they're just, I've experienced it. I've seen it, you know, I played.
It was great. I mean, you're playing so often, so you really don't have a chance to, like, soak up much of the cities that you go to or whatever, because
it's in Suzhou, right? Suzhou?
Yeah, but you play the back. Yeah, yep. It's like about an hour train, or something. Like.
On the train, yep.
Yeah. But you know, when you go to play another team away, you play a couple games there, so you don't have to do a lot of traveling. And so we playing so often, it's really, I didn't have a lot of time to even, like, really, I probably went to like a couple malls, but like, you're playing so often and really that, if you're either traveling or playing, but it was great. Like, it was just something, I needed something, I guess, a switch, something new. Like, I just had been doing the same thing over and over, you know, stuck in this 9-month cycle. Like, you want to break abroad of it. If I was somebody who didn't have a family, no kids, like, yeah, that's cool. Like, being away from, but it gets to a point, but, you know, my son, like I said, my son is a great soccer player, so he's making friends. Like, I can't break him out. I'm not going to be like, yo, nah, you're going to come with me now and, you know, leave your soccer team, your school, all this, whatever, like, making friends. So it gets to a place, it's not about me.
Yeah.
I got to do what's best for the family. And so, yeah.
So. Who was on your team in China? Like, who are the other Americans? Or were you the only one?
I was the only American. It was another, I can't remember his name. He was from somewhere else, Russia. Somewhere
European big.
Yeah, he was a European. Yeah, like as I say, we were all friends. Like he was friends with the coach because the agent, like I said, the agent had a connection with the so that's how they were all connected. That's how he wanted to get his fee for bringing me in, like, you know, so it's like they wanted to keep it all like right in the circle.
Yeah. And are you saying, like, you out there playing hurt for 2 months and your numbers were decent, right? They were still good numbers.
Yeah.
But over there in China,
they want you to score 40. 40. Yeah, I couldn't do that. At that point before that, I was doing that. Like, we should have just won another championship in Jerusalem. That we should have won a back-to-back. Some stupid shit happened. I hurt my thumb. We lost in the semifinals though. But we should have got to the finals and should have been competing for another like back-to-back championship. But yeah, it was like I got there. Like I was killing before going over there. Like that's why they wanted me there. I was killing, like putting up good numbers.
And it's light in China too. You can get those numbers.
Oh yeah, like, They don't play no defense. It's all fake hustle, like
yeah, all fake hustle,
fake intensity, like you know, yeah. You know the president in practice be like they don't really do that, but the loudest, so yeah. He makes it seem like he's doing something. That's yeah. It's a lot of like fake hustle, like
yeah. No, it's an interesting place though. They love basketball out there. That's one thing I saw. Yeah, like it's like they play basketball. I think there was a stat that said. There are more people that play basketball in China than there are people in the United States. Like it's insane how much they love basketball out there. That's one thing I loved about it was just how passionate they were. Like, of course, they support their team, but they really just fans of the game. Like, they're cheering for both teams.
That's what I'm saying. They just want to see the ball go into the basket. They don't really it's not even like you go in. Everybody's cheering for everybody on the court. Like it's not even like I got this team. It's everybody. Basket go in. Then everybody's happy.
Yeah, they all clapping.
Yeah, basket go in. They're happy for everybody.
Yeah,
I heard a story about fans smoking in the gym in China.
Oh my goodness. Anything?
Oh man, but they do that in Europe too. I mean, yeah. They do that in a locker. Like somebody has like. Smoke a cigarette, drink a beer, like they're doing it at the game, like just like it's a regular thing, like in the shower, like it's a regular thing over there. It's different because it's totally different way of thinking how they think about things.
Blow off steam somehow, I guess, is their mindset right there.
But the crazy thing is though, like their cigarettes aren't like the ones that we buy here, they take out like all the toxins in it and stuff.
But no,
like,
they're buying the tobacco themselves, buying the paper, and they're just gonna roll it up themselves and smoke it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like the rat poisoning and stuff. Yeah. They it's kind of like a clean way of smoking cigarettes. If that's a thing, but
yeah, if that's a thing, I don't think it's a thing. That's the closest to it.
The least terrible
like,
way.
They're like vegan smokers. It's all natural.
Jerome, we've taken up a lot of your time here. We got a couple quick hitters here just to get through. We're going to start calling this our fast break segment. I think just we'll keep them quick and get you out of here on this note. Just actually real quick. What was kind of the main thing you did to like protect your own mental health? You mentioned playing video games, but was there anything else you did to kind of like decompress, be able to adjust that sort of thing?
It was the video games and then having my kids there with me. It's always good, you know, after you have a tough game or something like that and you don't want to talk to anybody, but you always, you know, your kids are always going to always put a smile on your face. And that's another thing that I want to like is try to disconnect the two, like leave that at the gym once you go and let your family brighten you back up. Try to leave all that extra baggage. Cause that's the biggest thing is just being able to understand that it's a business. Like, don't get so caught up into the loss and then you be angry with everything else that's around you. Life has to continue on. Like, that was the one of the things that I was saying. I'd be so mad after losing. Like, I didn't want to talk to my, I can't even eat. Like, it's just like, you know, and then you got your kids. It's just the smile, they just brighten you back up.
All right, let's take a quick break from the show to hear from another one of our sponsors, Athletic Greens. Tons of people take multivitamins, but it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's also lifestyle-friendly and fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's B-L-E-A-V. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health. All right, now let's get back to the show.
That kind of touches on like my question, like the best advice you would give somebody, you know, let's make it more specific. What's the best advice you would give somebody considering going to play overseas? Let's say they had a great college career for whatever reason. This is their best option, is to go overseas, like whether it's to get back to the league or just to have a great overseas career. Like what advice would you give them about going through that process?
Do your homework. Understand what kind of culture that you're going into, because, you know, there's a lot of, like, maybe everybody has different playing styles. And so you got to be able to understand what you are capable of handling, I want to say, because over there, coaches are more like coaches in college, where they're going to just yell at you and you got to just take it. Like, there's really not much you can say. Like, because, like I said, you're so replaceable, because they like I said, they'll try to just get rid of you. And so do your homework before going into a situation. Know who's going to be on your team. Go and talk to somebody like that's played there. Try to get some information about the GMs, like, because there's GMs that's, I got, like I said, the GM that I had in Brindisi, the fucking terrible, like, cost us the championship. Like, even like, people don't even know, like, I got that season, I was probably having like a MVP, like, half of the season. And I didn't even get chosen for the All-Star game.
Oh, wow.
Because they didn't advocate for it, or like what?
Because he didn't want me. He said I was hurt.
Oh, got it. That's nice, isn't it? That's
a good feeling. Then I approached him and he tried to throw it off onto the assistant GM. Like, you're the GM. You know, assistant GM's making that decision. Like,
yeah.
I'm not fucking dumb. Like, this is what you get paid. This is what you get paid to do. You're not gonna be like, oh yeah, assistant, make that decision.
No. Yeah.
You would think that would look better for them too, to have an all-star on the team.
Right.
Any new hobbies or food you picked up in any country, or just something that was like a new experience to you that you liked enough that you'd keep doing or want to do again?
Well, I just, food in general. I mean, I've been to probably two of the best for me is Italy, great food, and Israel, great food.
Are you a less picky eater now?
I am. I am a very less picky eater. My favorite dish is in Italy is probably shrimp risotto. Probably my go-to if I'm gonna go somewhere and be like, either that or the lasagna. I love some lasagna. It's like
can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with it. But I that's one thing that I do. I want to learn. I love to cook too, so I want to learn how to make some good risotto, because it sounds like it's just rice and cheese, but it's really not easy to make.
Yeah.
And my dish from Israel would be, it's kind of like grits, but it's called, think it's called not Polenta. Damn, I'm supposed to love this. I don't even know the name.
No, it's all good. If anybody listening, just look up.
It's yeah, ready. They know the signature dish. It comes with some asparagus on top of it too. But yeah, man, this food is probably like one of my I can eat for days. I don't look big, but I can eat a lot.
Yeah, no, like it's just amazing. Like just to hear you say how you took up cooking and stuff like that. Just how, like I tell people all the time, Hoopers, man. Like they're so talented in so many other things, but just because we're so proficient in this one thing, they just look at us through that lens.
Right, that's the thing. Like I also another thing. I was a photographer in high school. Like I did that for like I love. That's one of some things. Like once I finish, I'm gonna get a dark room built in. I want to get a dark room so I can like I. Real like photography where you gotta.
Are you official?
Yeah, you gotta do film, like you gotta print your picture yourself. Like,
yeah.
You know, you put your film in there, roll it up, shake it up with the nice stuff to get it going. Like, do all the shit yourself.
No, that's dope, man.
Yeah.
You always see it's always a shock. Like, if you post something like that on your IG, people are like, "What? I didn't know." And I'm like, "Like, you think
that's the thing?" But you don't know because you don't know me. Like, you chose like. Yeah. It's
interesting seeing that reaction. I'm like, yo, basketball is a huge part of who we are, but it's a small part of who we are too.
I can't go home and play basketball.
Like we got like 20 hours of free time. Like, what
you know, like I gotta wake up and go to sleep just like you.
So look, I think it's the last question, man. We'll get you out of here, man. We really appreciate you. But who's somebody that you think that we should have on that might have like interesting experience overseas or that can give us some great insight into, you know, just a unique perspective on overseas basketball and their experiences? It could be anybody, but you gotta help us get them.
I gotta help. Okay. My boy might do it. Torrance Kinsey. He was in the championship in Jerusalem.
That's a great guest.
He's a vet. Been everywhere.
Played in the league.
He played in the league. Like I said, he's been in a lot of different countries. Also, he's experienced. He knows that Russia league. That's where those are probably the stories that you want to hear about. Like those Ray Star and stuff. That's where it really is crazy over there. Like
Jerome, thank you so much for the time here, man. This was terrific. I think people are really going to enjoy this. There's a lot of good advice in there, a lot of funny stories too. So that's the kind of mix I think we're definitely trying to get with these.
All right. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
One last thing before we let you go here. Anything you have going on that you want to plug or and where can people find you on social media and stuff like that?
Right now, I was saying before, I just got my life license. I guess part time with Primerica, and so like I said, it's the biggest thing is just getting the information out and to our youth. So I think we get left behind. It's just we're in like generational. I'm trying to find a word. Generational. How do you say generational left behind? Like
we're disadvantage
not getting, or we're not getting the information that's passed down from others that help us as not even as like athletic youth, like just youth in general, like this information that you can soak up, like understanding the value of yourself and how money works. Like,
yeah,
that's probably my thing is to the youth is just understand how money works and how it can benefit you before it's too late.
Yeah, hey, remind me. Let's go on a call about that because we were talking about that earlier last year. But you know, business stuff, you know, happened. But you know, I definitely there's a huge void in the sports market for that because everybody wants to make the money, but nobody knows how to use the money.
Right. I was the thing I was telling you that I want to get to these colleges, get these kids before they even get into like an understanding, like. This money that I got from this Pell Grant or this money that I'm getting from this meal money, like I can put some of this away and have it building up for me, even if I don't make it out. If something happens, if I get hurt, or even if I don't make it to the NBA, or if for the people that's not even like colleges, their last stop.
Yeah.
But who better than you to tell them though?
That's what I'm saying.
Everywhere that they're trying to get to, and you're licensed and educated in this field. Right. You perfect for it.
That's what I'm saying, and that's what I want to get at. So it's like, even if you don't make it to the NBA or to overseas, you still made some type of money there in that college too, where you can put some of that away that they didn't give you already, that you can be good. Just letting that money build up, knowing how it works. And so that's one of the things. I mean, I had told you, I wanted, the podcast is where it's at. That's my next like venture in, is just a podcast, having like I was told you that I suffered from, is having a guidance or somebody, more of a adult figure that knows what happened, is, you know, get this podcast where I can get on these stories and tell you about what you should do if this type of situation happens, or, you know, like stuff that could really benefit you in real life situations.
Well, look, like I think I can speak for Matt in this. Any way that we can help get you on that platform, you know, our podcast is on the Believe Network. It's a huge sports. They have huge variety of sports podcasts.
Almost 500 different.
I wouldn't even know where to start with. It's just something that, you know, that's just, I was like, hey, like, this is a great way to connect to and get the information out, where, you know, it could be there and they can just go and get it later. Like, it's just once it's out, plugged in. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't even have to be plugged in right here at this minute. Like, if you go out and search for it, you can try to find it.
No, I think like, just like, let us know exactly when you're ready to get started, because we can put you with the right people to at least, you know, start that conversation.
Okay.
And I mean that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll take you up on that for sure. I'm really passionate about it. I mean, it's just, I seen how it affected me, and I know maybe how it could have changed my life, but I don't even want to get into that, where what would be different about, because I love everything that's come across so far. And so, like I said, I wouldn't want to go back and change it, but I would definitely love to have had the knowledge and the information.
I think you shared a lot of stuff today that'll help some people out too. So I think that's a great start and a great tease for people. So whenever you get that rolling, we'll make sure to plug it on our end too. So anybody who jumps from this to that, we'll know where to find it.
All right,
everybody, this has been Ball Movement. We'll take more suggestions for guests and topics and all kinds of stuff you guys want to hear about, and we'll keep it moving. Make sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.